Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And I know what you're thinking. This is surely going to be all about E3. Sorry, it's not. Because so far, we've only gotten EA and Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And while we could do just a review of that, we have decided to hold off everything for the Tuesday show. When we're going to have Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man, and I'm going to be on that show. I think Dalton's probably going to be there, too.
Maybe.
I'll try.
Depending on how much of it you actually watch.
Yeah, I'll try to watch it, and I think I'm going to try to go see Solo on Tuesday. So I'll make it work.
Cool. And we're going to talk about all of E3, because by then, everything will have aired.
Yes, because we've only gotten EA and Microsoft, and if I'm being totally honest, with how empty EA was, we might get a full hour.
I mean,
Other stuff happened, and we still need like Nintendo and Sony and like Bethesda's going to air about an hour from now from when we're recording. On top of like, don't come at the, this is the episode that starts the Asa Jesse Civil War, where Jesse finally sours on my nonsense, because I'm actually looking forward to the Ubisoft conference. If I'm being honest, like.
It's just shocking to me. What about Ubisoft are you looking forward to?
What we saw at Microsoft with the Division 2.
Oh, that the Division's got you a little bit intrigued.
It's got me intrigued. But I mean, yeah, they're not great, but they've been taking steps to fix the stuff that they shouldn't have had to fix in general.
Yeah, apparently the Division has gotten incredible.
Yeah, and I'm kind of excited to see what else they, you know, because they usually put out interesting things.
It's just,
and like, I like Far Cry 5. Like, we might get to see some of the DLC, like actual footage of the DLC, because I know the one's about to come out.
Oh yeah.
No, I mean, they put out interesting things, and I'm just, it may be stuff that I end up never playing, but I want to see what they do.
Yeah, but
also, there's gonna be the Just Dance part, and I love me a good train wreck.
Who doesn't? You know, Ubisoft, they've gotten better over the years. Like, It's kind of like EA and up until, you know, the Battlefront 2 nonsense.
Just set them back 10, 15 years.
5 years at minimum, like, up until that point. And they fixed a lot of Battlefront issues, at least. So they recognize that. And then, yeah, but you're definitely right. Outside of one particular announcement, which we'll get to later from the EA conference, there was really nothing in there that I care about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were a couple of things in there that were neat, but most of it was, honestly, their sports stuff.
Well, and it...
And,
We're already spending too much time on it, but like, it wasn't even necessarily the quality of their announcements. It was how everything was presented was just bad. It was terribly paced. They had people talking that they probably like didn't need to have talk. There was one, like, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, because they did have the Sea of Solitude game reveal that happened. That game looked super interesting, and they had someone who actually was like, I don't know if it was like creative director or who spoke for that game, but it was definitely one of the people making it, and she was very clearly very passionate about this game, and she loves this game with everything in her being, but she should not have been on the stage, because she just, like, I don't know if it was the crowd, I don't know if it was just talking in front of people, like, I don't know what it was, but it's just like, that was not for her. And I don't want to sound like I'm being super negative to this poor woman, because she, like, because of it, like, I love how much she cared. And that actually kind of made me more interested. That did make me more interested in that game. But it's just like, combined with all of the other nonsense that we had to sit through at that point.
I just imagine that conversation going like, all right, look, you are the only one. I know you don't like crowds, but you are the only one of us that's not going to go up there and just wet themselves on national TV. So
we also need to put an actual human face on this, because we're an evil corporation at this point and everyone hates us.
Well, I mean, the EA, yes, as the publisher, but the dev team.
No, that's what I mean. That's like EA, they're like the stormtroopers come down, be like, you're speaking. No dress clothes.
Oh, God.
They should have had Janice from accounting going in there. She don't give a... That was an amazing John Oliver reference.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, man. Pulled a great joke out there. You just kind of... You thought I was going to say the word.
I know the rules. Sometimes. But anyway. Yeah, Microsoft's conference, though, like, I actually thoroughly enjoyed. I thought they really did well. But anyway, on to other stuff. Again, catches Tuesday. Please listen to the rest of the episode, because we will be doing some highlights from E3 at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But the full recap we're going to do on Tuesday.
Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man presents Nerd Up, E3 Spectacular 2.
There you go.
I think that's what we did last year.
I think so, too.
That sounds right. Yeah.
But anyway, all right. So, other stuff. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. We finally got a full trailer for this movie. And also, something that we didn't hear about. Last time we talked about this movie, John Krasinski was cast as the voice of Peter Parker.
I almost corrected you to Jim, but it's because he plays Jim in The Office. His real name is John, yeah.
Yes, John Krasinski, a.k.a. Jim Halpert from The Office.
Mm-hmm.
That had gotten debunked, and I never saw it.
Yeah.
Like, it just completely faded. Oh, so when I was watching this Into the Spider-Verse trailer, and I hear Nick Miller talking out of Peter Parker's mouth, I got really confused because I was like, that doesn't sound at all like John Krasinski. That sounds a whole lot like Nick Miller. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely Nick Miller.
Yeah, Jake Johnson.
Yes.
Cast as Peter Parker. So I was super excited to find that out. I was at work, so I didn't have a chance to actually like, and I don't have headphones at work anymore because they broke. So I didn't have a chance to actually watch it.
Mm.
So on my lunch break, I watched it. I don't love him as Peter Parker. And I think it's because we're not getting the full context of the movie, because this, the way he was drawn and like the 5 o'clock shadow kind of that he had.
Yeah, no, this is a Peter Parker like, that is not.
If this is kind of a broken down, like beaten Peter Parker, okay, like I'm sure it'll make more sense because I absolutely, it's a thing I never knew I needed until, you know, this happened. But like, oh yeah, Jake Johnson as Peter Parker as the wisecracking just D-bag Spider-Man. Give me that all day, every day. But then to see it like in this version, it's just like, ah.
Because yeah, he definitely
maybe
does
by
look,
the end of the movie.
He definitely does look a little worn down.
A little disheveled.
Disheveled is a great word. At one point in the trailer, he's just straight up out there in a hoodie that's barely covering the fact that he's wearing a Spider-Man costume underneath
it.
That
was kind of funny.
But no, like we got to see a whole lot more of the animation style. We got to see a lot of other stuff. We got to see Spider-Gwen make an appearance, and it all looks super pretty. Also, I did not know that this was going to be a theatrical release.
I didn't either.
So,
which is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that was new information for me. So yeah, I'm still pumped about this though. It looks awesome.
Oh yeah, no, this is definitely going to be like, I'm absolutely going to see this. Like, I'm still very excited for it. It's just like, yeah. Also, so what do you guys think of the art style?
I like it more that I've seen more of it. Like this, the like teaser thing that we got a couple months back, I was kind of wishy-washy on, but I am more than on board with this movie. Like the way it looks, I love the way it looks. I love the way everything moves so far. Looking at it, like I am on board.
It's different. Like I said, I didn't really like how they drew Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably my least favorite representation of him so far, but that's just from the trailer. That's nothing to do necessarily with the style. That's just an artistic decision they took with Peter.
Well, I mean like the style in
general. The style I love.
Okay.
Like it's different, but I like it.
I'm not super on board with it. Like, and I was kind of hoping it would be like you, where it's like, okay, well, the more I see of it, once I see it in motion, like it'll be better, but there's just something about it that's not grabbing me, and I'm bummed about it. But like I said, I'm still gonna see this movie, and I'm probably going to really enjoy it. It's just that like I am a selfish person, and it's like, why isn't everything catered to my exact wants?
The bit where it's the dad, don't cops run red lights?
I did love that.
Not this one. I was like, I am gonna love this movie.
Him over the loudspeaker, say it back. Say you love your father.
I'm so on board with this movie.
No, I loved all of that exchange. It makes me really, really happy. I'm excited for this film.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get it. It's December 14th this year. We'll actually have the movie in theaters.
It's the most busy time of the year for me. I'm going to miss this in theaters.
got to make time.
You'll have there will be a break.
Oh, yeah. It's just when it lands is the most busy
time.
Yeah,
you may not get to see it opening weekend, but it will absolutely still be in theaters.
Whenever I have time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. We also got a Wreck-It Ralph 2 trailer, another longer one, with a whole lot more information about exactly what they're doing in the internet. The Disney theme park, we got to see that.
That was my that was hands down the best part.
That was so cool.
The park itself was neat, but just Penelope? What's her name?
Uh Yeah, Penelope Sweets, I think is the name of the character.
Yeah, so, at the like when they're all like interrogating her, he's like, "Are you seriously? Are you okay? Do we need a call? Do I need to call someone?" Because it just kind of shines the light on just like how kind of dark princess, those Disney are.
Because they go through a whole spiel like, "Have you been poisoned, kidnapped,
forced to marry a monster who like you actually turns out to love?" It's like, okay, hold on.
Are you guys okay? Like, do I need to call someone? Yeah, no, that was. That was fantastic. Like, and whenever they land, you know, you kind of see like all of these recently acquired Disney properties all over the place because they go to like, I think she says something like, "Take me to the best website on the internet" or something like their most exciting website on the internet, and they go to Disney's website, and they land and there's like Marvel characters flying all over the place.
Kids movie, Dalton.
And then they get like confronted by stormtroopers, which I thought was really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I liked this trailer a lot.
It's the so like we always talk about anytime there's like casting news, like being surprised that Eric Andre is going to be in the Lion King live action movie.
Yeah,
or like, you know, Disney's working with Donald Glover. I always forget that the most obvious, easiest counter to that like surprise is the fact that Sarah Silverman voices Penelope.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll shut up now. Because, like, yeah, never, I always forget that until until I rewatch either, like, until I see the movie or, like, see build up for this one. John Reilly, even, as Ralph, isn't kind of.
Yeah. Oh, and it's Vanellope.
Vanellope. I knew that. I knew Penelope wasn't right.
Because it was something about it that wasn't hitting my ear right. And I was like, but that's. Is Vanellope sweet? Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, it was just bothering me. I had to look
it up. Oh, no, I'm glad you. Because, again, I'm not like Dalton. I want to be told if I'm wrong. Oh, that way I'll stop being wrong.
But yeah.
But you never do, do you?
The most exciting website on the internet.
Oh, there's a lot of other. I wonder how many jokes they're going to make about.
There's like, there we has can't to be go a door. There. Oh. There has to be a door, and it's just storm clouds and like lightning, and be like, oh, that's the dark web. We don't go to the dark web.
There's some kind of like incognito.
That's
joke.
The one I want. I want little guys with glasses and like the hat. We all know what I'm talking about. I want those guys
like
walking.
Teenagers
around.
Walking around in like incognito costumes.
They just bring in Vincent Adult Man. Oh, this just popped into my head because now I'm thinking of like exciting websites, but I'm thinking like in the context of a kid, and I know this doesn't exist anymore. It can't. If it does, I'll find out at work tomorrow. But the company that makes like Cream Savers and Life Savers, the candy company, they had a website that was entirely Flash games, and it was great. There was like Cream Saver mini golf and a weird bowling thing.
Huh.
Grade School Asa loved that website, and I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, see, my Flash game website started with Newgrounds, I think, before that. I don't remember
what
it was.
We could get to this one at school. Newgrounds, you could not. Newgrounds and E-Bomb's World, you could not. Yeah. Those were blocked.
AddictingGames.com was the other big one when I was in high school.
Okay. Mine was Disney and, like, anyone that owned, like, cartoons. Cartoon Network, they had a Powerpuff, like, snowboarding game. It was amazing.
I kind of miss those terrible Flash games.
Yeah. A little bit. Addicting Games is still around.
Is it?
Yeah.
Didn't Nickelodeon
Will it break your computer,
I think,
though?
So. No.
Okay. Because that was always the thing. Is it was always like, okay, my computer's either about to shut down or I'm going to have 20 minutes of a great time before I get bored.
But yeah. So Wreck-It Ralph got that trailer. I'm even more excited for this movie. The Disney princess scene did not feel like over the top or terrible or forced or anything. It felt awesome.
Yeah, that was so good.
I thought that was really, really funny. All right, we also got a Lego Movie 2 trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I am excited for this movie.
Which blows my mind, but finally you've seen the light.
Right?
Because, like, I'm so on board for this movie. I am so on board for the trailer. Like, it looks like it's going to be just the same level of care and love and, like, that we got in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Just now it's more.
Yep.
He's still a big old dum-dum, but he's a sweetheart.
And it's Chris Pratt, right? Like, I'm not misremembering. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love Chris Pratt.
It was just the moment, because Shannon turned it on in the store whenever I was here, and it was like the Mad Max world, and I was like, all right, it has my attention. And I kept watching, and I was like, I'm really excited for this movie. that I really like. I had no reason to be for, but now I am.
I need a witness me joke in there somewhere. Yeah, no, I'm really, really excited about Lego Movie 2. That I loved the first one. This one looks like I'm going to love it just as much. Then the scene where they look for the one, and it's like, well, it sounds like you did all the work, and he was just kind of there.
Because it was. And, like, my original thought whenever they kidnapped Elizabeth Smart's character, I was like, oh, they're going for, like, the damsel in distress thing. But then I remembered, well, in the first one, they kind of did do the opposite of that, where, like, she genuinely did everything, and he just kind of
was present.
And, like, she did end up having to break him out of the place with, like, I loved Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Superman and Green Lantern.
Yeah. The 1992 Olympic basketball team was the other one, I think.
I don't remember. I hope we get more stuff like that, which I'm assuming we will. But,
yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yep. I want to see more of it. I need to see more of it.
It made me want to go and watch the Lego movie again.
I do need to watch it again because that was just a really good movie. I haven't watched it since shortly after it came out on... I've watched it since then, but I haven't watched it in a few years at least.
Yeah.
Which it's weird to me that it came out in 2014. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
It's one of the few movies I've seen more than once in theaters. I loved that movie.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen a movie more than once in theaters. They're so expensive now.
They really are.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, because the last one Dalton saw multiple times in theaters.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I was also really afraid it was going to be Suicide Squad, but I also realized I watched Rogue One twice.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, no, because I was about to make myself sad, and then I realized. Also, Spider-Man Homecoming I've seen more than once in theaters.
Why? Like, I mean, no. I was like, what, do you have an issue with this? No, I was going to say, why have you seen so many movies twice in theaters? Because I know, like, not all of those you liked enough to see twice.
That's online dating. There's my answer.
Repeat dates.
Yeah.
All right, watch the movie. Let me know what you thought. I'm going to nap.
All right. So anyway, we got news that I'm not excited about. Speaking of flipping Suicide Squad, Jared Leto's Joker is getting his own movie.
I didn't even mean to segue that one.
It's still allegedly. I feel like WB announces, like, I feel like we get a new DC movie.
They have announced so many DCEU movies at this point.
Right. And just, I think.
They're just throwing the stuff at the wall and just being like, what sticks? Oh, well, we really didn't announce it.
They're just hoping that no one remembers that they made the announcements.
I guess. I don't know what's going on with the DCEU anymore, especially in the Batman universe. It's all over the place. They've got like 9 different movies announced, and some of them are related to the DCEU and some of them aren't.
Yeah.
And it confuses me.
Because the Martin Scorsese one, that apparently Joaquin Phoenix is in talks to be Joker, that's totally...
Not DCEU at all.
And not at all, but it is a Joker movie.
I don't understand how you have a Joker movie without Batman.
Did we talk about the rumor of who the Batman villain is changed to? Since you're not doing Deathstroke anymore? It's Penguin. Is the latest rumor.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. But apparently it's still rumored that Deathstroke could be back on for it.
Yeah, so we don't know what's going on because it feels like they probably don't know what's going
they
on.
They definitely don't.
Like, they're just kind of banking on the fact that no one remembers they said they were making a Birds of Prey movie.
Mm-hmm. And nobody remembers that post-credit scene with Deathstroke because that might never happen again.
Yeah, we may not get enough. Which would be, again, I still stand by the fact that if the second half of Justice League is where they started the DCEU, it would be fine.
Yeah.
Not great, not Marvel levels of big, but it would be fine. It wouldn't be nearly as divisive as what it is now.
Yeah.
And it also wouldn't be, you know, 80% garbage like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. They're trying. And I like that direction they were going, so I kind of hope they just power through. But then they do stuff like this. I'm like, why, though?
Because Suicide Squad was ignorantly popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, as bad as it was, that movie made bank.
And, like, there are so many people that I talk to, even now, that are like, I loved that movie. And I just wonder, how?
Are you okay? do we need to call somebody?
Because and I hear it all the time. And from people who, like, I generally respect in terms of their movie opinions, they're like, I really like Suicide Squad, but why though?
Explain yourself.
Yeah. And then one person I talked to liked Suicide Squad, hated Black Panther.
Oh, that person's wrong. Like,
I have no words.
Yeah, it's baffles my mind. But anyway.
So maybe that
might be happening. It might not be. Who knows?
And if it does happen, maybe Jared Leto won't be a total D-bag to his cast and crew people.
Yeah, and maybe the sky will turn green.
It could happen. Actually, in quantum physics, anything is.
All right, so Adam's Family, speaking of something that's supposed to have happened a long time ago, is now on track. They've got their voice cast on lock, and it's an impressive one.
And preliminary images, too. Like, yes. The actual, like, the...
Some
the
of the art styles out, and, like, some of the scenes and stuff like that have been shown out. We don't have a trailer or anything like that, or any kind of a release window, but we got some concept art, and we've got the voice cast, which... Again, holy crap. We got Oscar Isaac as Gomez, Charlize Theron as Morticia, Chloe Grace Moretz as Wednesday, Finn Wolfhard as Pugsley, Nick Kroll as Uncle Fester, Bette Midler as Grandmama, and Allison Janney as Margot Needler.
Who is going to be the
arch nemesis of the family.
Yeah. It's stupid. Like, as I was reading through this list, and I was just like, oh, cool. Oh, and it just didn't stop.
Right. You go through that entire thing like, okay, all right then. Mm-hmm. They just went all out for this voice cast.
Which is neat. I'm not, it's another one of those things where just on the one image I've seen, I'm not crazy about the art style. It kind of gets a pass though because it is Adam's Family.
Right.
And again, I want to see it in motion before I make any actual judgment. That said, I meant to talk to Shannon about this because I know he will already, like, because he loves Raul Julia, who played Gomez Adams in the 90s movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was phenomenal in it. And so it's like, oh, this is going to be different.
Yes.
Because it's animated. It's not live action anymore. It's going to be something different. But that is an all-star cast.
Yes. You know, everything about that is great. And, I mean, everybody should pretty much recognize those names. Finn Wolfhard, if you've watched Stranger Things, he's one of the kids from Stranger Things.
Wasn't he in It?
Yeah, he was.
Is he the one that was in It? Okay.
Yeah, he's the one that was in Stranger Things and It.
Yep.
If you're trying to think of which little kid.
He's just making money off creepy things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how he's feel about that kid in particular as Pugsley, but
as it being a voice actor, it's fine. Because you don't, you know. Because Pugsley has always been kind of a portlier Bobby Hill husky.
Yeah.
Husky plus. But
He's always, I always imagined Pugsley with kind of a raspy voice. I don't know why. I think it's the old cartoon that makes me think of that. Because I know it wasn't in the old movies, but.
Yeah, I don't think he had a particularly raspy voice.
No, I'm confident he didn't in the 90s movies.
It's been a really long time since I've seen those. Part of me wants to go back and rewatch them because I remember them being a lot of fun. And, like, as a kid being, like, I don't know why I wasn't supposed to, like, why I felt like I wasn't supposed to like it. Like, maybe I saw it in that age where, oh, it's a kid's movie. This is stupid. Like, because you have that mentality for a while when you're growing up because you're just a little turd. So I don't know if it was just because of that or what, but I just remember liking both of them a lot.
I liked both movies a whole lot. I am not certain. Like, I've heard they hold up.
Seeing that was I was like, I don't watch it because I don't want it to be like Turtles 3 was.
I was about to say
Turtles 3 was my favorite one, and then I was exposed to it, and I was just like, oh no.
We had TurtleCon here. We got like 20 minutes into Turtles 3, and you could just hear the glass shattering in Ace's head
of my heart, the last little bit of my heart just ripping. Raphael, no.
So, yeah, like, and I'm afraid that that's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
If I watch those old Addams Family movies, because I did love those when I was younger.
Someone please confirm to us. Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. My Twitter is the5starman with the 5. Like, let me know if these movies hold up, if you have recently seen them. Cody, Hunter, Shannon, maybe Lindsay. I don't know who has seen these recently. But,
someone.
Yeah.
All right. Next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends in Perryville, Missouri at Villainous Grounds. You could stop there for all of your comic book needs, and you can get a phenomenal cup of coffee or a smoothie or hot chocolate, whatever you want. DC has announced a Vertigo line-wide relaunch/rebrand. 7 new books coming. I'm not going to go over the entire list of them. There's not... there's nothing old becoming new, and there's a lot of like fresh writing talent and artistic talent,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the books look kind of promising, but nothing in particular is
a
real standout.
There was one that I thought actually looked really, really cool, but I can't remember which one it was.
And I mean, I think Sandman is getting picked up for Vertigo. So they're going to do a new version of Sandman.
No.
Or they're going to continue it.
Oh, no. Okay, gotcha.
He's like, he started shaking his head. And
I was getting hair out of my face.
Oh, which, because Sandman, we have seen fairly recently to avoid spoilers for something that has recently happened in the comics. But I would like to see where he lands. Or where that, you know, franchise lands.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in a DC imprint, but I don't know if it's supposed to be Vertigo or not. For those of you not in the know on Vertigo, it's more their mature line of comic books.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they can get away with like some of the darker tones. And I know what you're thinking. There's some dark tones in DC, but there's some really dark stuff hits in Vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
It's all outside of the DC main universe. Most of the books, anyway, they're kind of self-contained. And they also can show nudity in the Vertigo line, and that's where like I'm trying to think of anything other than Fable, because that's the only Vertigo book that's coming to my mind right now.
Well, speaking of that, one of the books is Safe Sex, a dystopian sci-fi thriller about a ragtag team of sex workers fighting for the freedom to love in a world where sexual pleasure is monitored, regulated, and policed by the government. So that's one of them.
That sounds dumb.
So yeah, mature line of comic books.
So there were two.
I mean, it sounds interesting enough. I kind of want to get the first issue.
We aren't going to go all the way through, but there were two that I wanted to mention because they seemed super cool.
Yeah.
The first one being American Carnage. In this thrilling crime saga, disgraced FBI agent Richard Wright, who is biracial but passes for white, goes undercover in a white supremacist group believed to be responsible for the death of a fellow agent. That just sounds like a cool, like...
I kind of want to read
that. Because I like that kind of... Like, that's the kind of story that I like. The
detective story.
Yeah, I like detective stories. And then the other one is called Second Coming. God sends Jesus to Earth in hopes that he will learn the family trade from Sun Man, an all-powerful superhero who is like the varsity quarterback son... Words are hard. Who is like the varsity quarterback son God never had. But upon his return to Earth, Christ is appalled to discover what has become of his gospel and vows to set the record right.
That sounds like a lot of fun, too.
And that just kind of sounds interesting. I don't know anything about the... So The Second Coming is written by Mark Russell. And the DC Comics website has his list of his accomplishments of Mark Russell. God is disappointed in you, the Flintstones. And I don't know if that's just because he's disappointed in him for writing the Flintstones or... Yeah, so it's not a team that I recognize on either of those books.
Yeah, like I said, it's a bunch of like newer talent. Because the Flintstones run in DC actually was really well received.
Mm-hmm.
Just as an example of like who they're picking up.
Dalton, it's Tablet. apparently the guy writing American Carnage is also working on the Titans show.
Hmm.
that's going to be on the DC streaming service.
That's interesting.
So that's kind of within the family. But yeah, those are the two that I'm most excited for. And then they all sound interesting in their own way, but I'll probably actually pick up at least one of those two.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple that I will likely pick up just to have an issue one of.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see how it goes. Speaking of Titans, though, we talked a while back about Titans is currently being suspended until the events of No Justice, like the fallout of that kind of just settles.
Mm-hmm.
Soon it will be starting back up. We talked a while back the new team because they announced it with Nightwing, Beast Boy, Miss Martian, Natasha Irons as Steel, and Donna Troy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be dealing with a metagene outbreak, similar to kind of a similar storyline to what you had in Young Justice. And they gave us a first look at the cover with a new look for Raven,
mm-hmm.
which I sent that link to you guys. I don't know if you saw it. That cover in general is really well done.
I was
going
to say, that was
I really liked the art.
Yeah, that cover looked awesome.
Beast Boy looked extra interesting.
As bummed as I am that they're changing up the team, because I have kind of not nearly to the effect of or to the level that I was with Detective Comics, but like I really really like that Titans team. This looks really interesting.
Yeah, because apparently something happened with Wally, and we still don't know the repercussions of that. Wally, I guess, might be gone again.
I don't know which. So I don't know because something happened to Wally in the crossover that again, they did with
the Flash
with,
War.
No, well, in Teen Titans.
Oh.
The like there Wally has been messed with in a way that they kind of addressed but not really, and that is still an ongoing issue, and they are currently in the middle of or it just started the Flash War, which is isn't a crossover, that's just the arc that's going on in the Flash right now.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if it is like one of those two things because I'm still really behind on the Flash.
Maybe in the article I was reading they were talking about young Wally,
because in the version, well I mean they're both the same Wally. Oh, you mean...
yes.
Okay, yeah, gotcha, sorry.
Yeah, there's old Wally and new Wally.
That's the PC way to put it for sure. So, no, because it's old Wally. And I think, but he's also... He's the one that got messed with, but he's also the one... Young Wally was only in Teen Titans. He was never in Titans.
And that's because a few of these were in Teen Titans before.
Yeah.
Because, like, Raven, Beast Boy, and... no, those are the only two moving up. Yeah. Those two moved up from Teen Titans to the Titans.
And Young Wally's still in Teen Titans.
Okay.
Because they just showed that cast, or they, I just saw that team because a preview of it was in the back of one of the No Justice issues, gotcha. I think. No, it was the newest Batman, which, read immediately.
I was going to have it done yesterday, actually, and that's when I realized that I hadn't actually finished the last issue.
Yeah. Read immediately and text me like homework. I'm giving you homework.
I was planning on reading it tonight anyway. It's gonna be done. We got a new look on there, and I actually this cover in general, I dig it a whole lot. I might get back into Titans for that team because I really like that team. The old team I also liked just in general, but really the only characters on that team that I actually cared about were Nightwing, Flash, and Donna.
See, and that's kind of, I really like Nightwing, of course. I really was interested in what they did with Wally, and the fact that Arsenal was in there was cool, but then, and then Donna, and those were my four. But then they also had, I started
Aqualad.
I actually kind of cared about, like, Omen and Aqualad, and no, not even Donna, because Donna ended up being one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, Donna's awesome.
But I pretty much bought that book for Nightwing and Wally.
Yeah.
And then just like everybody else in that team, they did a really good job with and like did a good job of making me care. So now that, okay, hey, we got you to care about these people you didn't think you were gonna. Well, they're gone now. Here are more. It's like, I don't want to have to go through the cycle again.
Right. But at least for me, like, here are more that you already care about.
See, and I don't particularly.
Oh, yeah. That's
like Beast Boy's interesting. Raven is always cool depending on how she's written. But that's a character that I either will really like or really dislike. I don't care about Steel.
I'm just interested in Natasha Irons just in general. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care about her, but I do care a whole lot about Raven and Beast Boy just thanks to the old school Teen Titans TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Those two characters, that entire roster will forever have a spot in my heart.
Gotcha.
And
that's fair.
Yeah, but other than that, like, I don't know. I dig this team. And I like, and thanks to Young Justice, I love Miss Martian too.
Yeah. Duh, Megan.
Hello, Megan.
It's been a while since I've seen Young Justice. I'm waiting to marathon it all again for when we get an actual date on season 3.
Yeah, that's fair. I've watched it a few times since then.
The reason I want to go back and rewatch it, I don't want to get like all excited for a third season and then just have no way of knowing what it's gonna be.
That's fair. They basically, whenever they announced it, I rewatched it immediately, and then I did it once before then too. But and I'll do it again as soon as we get a release.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it like 3 times all the way through. I think
it's so good
because I finished it the first time and then went back and immediately restarted it because I was mad at myself for having not seen it because I had the first like part one on DVD. That I bought from Hastings forever ago.
Oh, I hate the way they did those seasons.
It was stupid, and so I never actually watched them because I thought I was buying season one.
No, you bought part one of season one.
But I bought part one of three of season one, and I was like, well, out of spite, I'm just not going to watch you then. So I just never saw it until it was on Netflix and everybody kept talking about it. And then I was like, you idiot, start it over.
Yeah.
If you watch it a bunch of times in a row, it'll count as seeing it when originally. You'll be a fan longer.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Oh, man, I got so bummed when I found out that show had been canceled. Like, because I watched it on Netflix because they added it to it. And I was like, I'll give this a shot.
Yeah, I got through the second season and I was like, all right, season three. Where's season three? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that was a really sad moment on the internet for me. Because I was like, all right, well, when am I getting more?
When's season three? Is it airing now? Do I get to play catch up? Oh, no.
Oh. Yeah, I got really, really sad. But anyway, next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content, social media links at ps2jshow.com, including their History of Gaming episode. The last Wednesday of every month, they post a new one. They've got quite a backlog now. All of it's worth checking out, so definitely give them a look up after you're done here. Crackdown 3 has officially been pushed to February 2019. And,
this is where I'm going to just watch.
Well, no, because like we are, it's already not going to be as bad as I thought it was, because this is the other half of the, okay, this is what finally splits Jesse and I apart. Because, so this was rumored earlier in the week, and then like the next day or the day after, Microsoft officially confirmed that, okay, because it was originally supposed to be in 2017. Then it got pushed to spring 2018, and then no one heard anything, and now it's February 2019.
We did get fall 2018 for a little while.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Maybe it was fall 2018 instead of spring. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. And so I love the first Crackdown game. They made a second one.
They sure did.
And so I've been really excited for this third one for a while. And to jump ahead a little bit to what happened at E3 is we got another trailer that started off immediately. You knew it was Crackdown. And I was immediately like, really? The stone's on you to give us a trailer for a game that you just announced. Oh, hey, by the way, you're supposed to be playing this in like 3 months. Now it's like 8. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I was already a little bit bitter of that, but now it's very heavily involved with Terry Crews.
It has been.
Well, I mean, it has been, but we didn't really know to what extent. Because we knew he was in the game, but we didn't know in what role. So yeah, it did confirm that he was in the game. And the way that they showed this, it seems like this is their Saints Row, where they told a pretty straightforward story the first two games, and then they just go off the rails and be insane. Because you got Terry Crews, who's being Terry Crews. I love Terry Crews. Asa loves Terry Crews.
Do you think it got pushed back because of all the work Terry Crews had to do for Deadpool 2?
Oh, my God.
What happened to you just scooting back, watching this happen? Yeah, it's gone. Terry Crews is in it a lot. You're the main character. Like you said, the clips that they showed felt real disjointed.
Yep.
Like he was kind of narrating everything that was going on, but it was like, oh boy, I really hope it's not like a Turtles Mutants in Manhattan where every 3 seconds one of 8 voice clips is going to go.
Because, yeah, it very much felt like in the trailer, we got Terry Crews. It's like they told Terry Crews to ramp up his excited voice to 11.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the Old Spice commercials.
Right.
They told Terry Crews to dial Old Spice commercials up to 11 and then just read off a bunch of voice lines. And he read a bunch of voice lines, and then they kind of jumbled them up together for this trailer. So it wasn't like he was narrating the trailer so much as they were doing voice lines throughout the trailer.
Yeah, and he was talking about, like, you know, I'm the best, like, you can hit him with all these different weapons, but I'm the best weapon. And one of the weapons was a rubber ducky bazooka. And that's just, no, man.
I didn't see the rubber ducky bazooka. He,
and they made it, he made a duck pun about it, and or something, or something like that, but he shoots it out and it's like a cluster grenade launcher is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Except instead of grenades, they're yellow rubber duckies.
I watched that trailer twice. How did I miss that?
Unless I've like went insane and just kind of blacked out. But that's the thing that I'm just like, that's never been Crackdown. Crackdown has been super over the top with like your superhuman abilities and everything like that.
And the super action sequences and because everything is super over the top.
Right, but it's never been rubber ducky.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Because, yeah, the first Crackdown, like, I bought that one just because, and, like, for many people, the only reason I bought Crackdown is because if you bought the game, you would get a beta to Halo 3. Like, you get to play the multiplayer beta for a few days.
Yeah.
So I bought it because I wanted that multiplayer beta for Halo 3, because that was back before, like, you know, first-person shooters had really saturated the market with, like, Battlefield, Call of Duty, and every other shooter out there. So, yeah, I got Crackdown, and I actually fell in love with that game. The upgrade system was probably the most fun thing that I've ever experienced, because you just had this big open-world city, and you got to explore it, and the more you explored and the more you did inside the city,
the more you could explore it, because as you collect, you have to go around and collect all these orbs, and as you collect orbs, you could put those to your upgrades to get stronger, jump higher, run faster, and as those all advanced, you got to jump higher to reach other orbs that you couldn't reach before.
Yep.
Oh, and this legit looks like Saints Row 4.
Yeah, it looks like Saints Row 4 and Borderlands had a baby. And then, yeah, that's
yeah, no, I'm, like, I'm 3. Straight up looking at it, and it looks just like I can only think of Saints Row 4.
Because I mean, it does have the cel shaded art style.
They also have the Just Cause tether gun.
Yeah, the tether gun looks really cool.
Like, I'm excited for that part. I'm excited for that. The vehicles look. I wasn't the hugest fan of the driving, but when you can, like, switch to the tank and stuff, that's, I'm into that. I like.
Yeah. No. It's,
okay. I think this is.
I think it's going to be fun. Yeah, I guess while they're looking that up, we'll go ahead and go to the next little bit of news. Kingdom Hearts 3 official release date. We finally have one, and we got an extended trailer with a lot more information. As not a Kingdom Hearts fan, I couldn't tell you a whole lot about what any of it means, but January 29th, 2019.
Quack, quack, mother.
Oh.
Clucker?
How did I miss that?
I don't know. Also, the gun that he shoots it from is bright yellow and has a duck head as, like, the
muzzle,
the iron sights. Yeah.
Oh,
maybe weird. That's what it was, but yeah.
But either way, I mean, I believed you, but I don't know how I missed it.
Right,
is my question,
because it's a bunch of little duckies on screen.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, that's what it sounds like. It's a cluster grenade launcher,
right? Of just rubber duckies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Gonna move past. I'm still gonna pick up the game.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be fun. But anyway, yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3, January 29th, 2019 is the official release date as of right now. That's the first official date we've gotten.
I don't trust them.
We've gotten months before. We've gotten, like, years before.
We have gotten multiple years before.
Yeah, because it says
we've gotten windows.
Yeah, we have gotten release windows. This is the first time we've gotten
not
an official date.
Not 100% sure. I'm pretty sure we've gotten a decade.
we'll be released sometime in the late 2000s.
Yeah. I haven't gotten a look. Like, Asa kind of threw it past me what was all unveiled. Does somebody want to go through that, or whoever did in the pre-show?
It was the confirmation of Frozen.
Yeah.
So this was the first time. Which also, I think it's super interesting that this happened at the Microsoft conference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's super interesting.
Well, it's the first time they're getting a Kingdom Hearts game.
Well, yeah,
well,
especially since Square Enix they have their own conference, so you'd think they'd wanted to save that stuff.
Also, not even the only Square Enix thing that we saw.
Yeah.
For Microsoft, and same thing with, like, Bethesda doing Fallout 76 or Vault 76, that trailer.
Lots of surprises at the Microsoft conference.
But yeah, so we got confirmation of Frozen. I think we knew Wreck-It Ralph was in it, but yeah, we saw a little bit of Wreck-It Ralph. We saw a little bit of Hercules was back, but really, like, the Frozen thing, and then this is the first time a Kingdom Hearts game is coming to a
Xbox
platform other than PlayStation.
Well, yeah. They had DS.
A main Kingdom Hearts game,
yeah.
I should say.
Because, spinoffs were on
DS and 3DS and stuff like
that. And Game Boy Advance had a couple of them.
God, yeah, that franchise is that old.
Yep.
I keep forgetting that.
Mm-hmm. Decades.
Yeah, it was an early PS2 game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, crazy to me.
Mandy, her ears perked up and she went E whenever she heard us say Kingdom Hearts 3. That being said, they gave us a date. They can push it back. I fully expect them to because that's what I'm programmed. Like I said in the group chat this morning, I won't believe it until it's in my system and the first update went through. Like, that's literally...
Gotta have the disc in his hand.
No, not even
and
then.
The update has to be happening.
It's just...
It has to read in my PS4.
It's Kingdom Hearts 2.999.
That's what's playing until that fourth patch update happens, and then I might get 3.0.
So, yeah. Might get that in January then.
I'm buying it. Like I it's just like Crackdown 3. I'm buying it.
Mm-hmm. You just don't know if you're you're going to buy it. You just don't know when.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm hoping to get a buy it in January.
Right. So anyway, Red Dead Redemption 2, we got some information about the collector's edition sets.
Oh, we did.
So we're getting three versions of the game, three collections of the game,
yeah,
and one extra collector's edition. And your base game $60, normal. $80 gets you a bunch of extra single player content. $100 gets you single player, that's right. $100 gets you extra single player and multiplayer content.
Yeah, it's the Red Dead Redemption 2. The deluxe version is the one that gets you strictly single player stuff, and then the ultimate edition gets you the everything.
Single player, multiplayer, a steelbook case, and a map.
Yep, and I think the map is also part of the deluxe edition.
Okay,
I think if you pay the extra, at least the extra 20, you get the map as well.
I think that's
but
right.
But if you want the real collector's experience. Or you really want a loot crate, you can get for $100 the collector's box, is I think what they're calling it.
That sounds right.
Does not include the game.
Nope.
So this is something you can buy. It's a feature. You can buy it in addition to any other edition of the game you want.
We've talked about other games that have done this, because this isn't the first game to do this where the Super Collector's Edition doesn't include an actual copy of the game.
Yeah.
This is a trend in gaming that needs to die a fiery, painful death.
Especially if they're going to be this lame about it. Because, yeah, you get a cheap-looking plastic box called a tithing box.
Because this legitimately is the Red Dead Redemption 2-themed loot crate.
Yeah.
Except you know what you're getting.
You get, like, a bandana, some cards. Like, it's...
Playing cards, a coin, the bandana. You get the map.
Again.
Yeah, so if you end up wanting everything that you can get on launch day, you'll get two copies of the map, and it'll cost you $200. Because not only does it not come with a copy of the game, it also doesn't come with any of those digital perks that you're going to have to put in. Like, it'll come with a download code for, like, weapons and extra money, and the single-player one comes with a mission, like an extra bank robbery.
Yeah, but it's basically, okay, so you get...
The special edition comes with the map.
You get a double-sided puzzle. 12 cigarette cards, a collectible challenge tin, coin, sorry. The font is really not
It's hard
great.
To read, yeah.
A six-shooter bandana, which literally does look like just a standard red bandana that you could buy at Walmart. Or your, I guess, clothing retail,
or
bandana retailer.
Near you.
My favorite thing from Reddit was, dude, I can't wear that bandana in my neighborhood. That made me laugh.
The joke that's I was going to make, and where we were at, those bandanas are super easy to find.
Yeah.
They are.
50 cents.
Yeah.
Like, we had to buy them for HVZ back when I was in college. And you get a pack of playing cards. You get a pin set, which looks like...
It was like six of them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like six pins, and they're all just like little pins of weapons in the game. You get a treasure map, and you get a Wheeler, Rawson, and Co. catalog.
Okay, so I think that treasure map is not... I think that's different. I think so, too,
because it said treasure map as opposed to like an area map.
Because it said it specifically said like cloth, or not even cloth, printed map of the world.
And yeah, then you get a tithing box with Red Dead Redemption 2 printed on it. And yeah, no, this is $100. Why is this $100?
It shouldn't. It should definitely be like
this 50? Is like a $50
yeah,
box. 50,
yeah, yeah.
I can see paying $50 for the collector's bit of this.
It should be $150, but it comes with the game and all of the...
It's the ultimate edition of the game.
Yeah, that comes with the $100 edition plus all of this stuff for $150. That's fine.
It's
so silly.
I get why people hate it, but it's one of the things that I don't disagree with it, only because I'm not going to buy it, but somebody will, and I can't get mad at them for making extra money on top of it. It's not like
I know why this is happening this way. This is a GameStop exclusive. So I bet you anything that this is a bunch of stuff that
I think you have to pre-order it through the Rockstar store right now.
Red Dead Redemption 2 collector's box only at GameStop.
Huh.
So yeah, I mean, I'm sure like if you go through the Rockstar's webpage, it'll link you to it. But yeah, and I'm reading this on GameStop.com saying only at GameStop. So
let me see where the... Because I'm on Polygon.
Red Dead... Oh, wait a minute. I'm on RockstarsGames.com. Red Dead Redemption 2 collector box is available now for pre-order from the Rockstar warehouse, and look for it also to be available from select retailers. That is... Yeah.
GameStop is going to be really upset.
Well, because GameStop, I feel like GameStop also says like a lot of stuff is exclusive at GameStop, but it's not.
Yeah.
Usually they don't say only at. But either way, like it would make a lot of sense if this was like a GameStop exclusive, because a lot of this looks like stuff that you could buy from, what is that?
Jinx.
Is it ThinkGeek?
Oh, yeah, ThinkGeek, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's ThinkGeek.
No, it very much is, because that one lady at our GameStop has told me that like 8 times because I buy action figures.
Gotcha. So, yeah, like a lot of this looks like stuff you could get from them. So it would make sense that this is GameStop putting this together with their partnership with ThinkGeek, and they can't bundle it with the game because it's not actually bundled by Rockstar. But I guess if it's on their website too.
And I disagree with Dalton because they're making extra money. When their multiplayer launches and they have their Red Dead Redemption 2 version of shark cards, they're going to be making more money than they know what to do with.
Oh, also,
except what they should do with it is make single player content, but they're not.
Also, yeah. I am on GameStop's right now. You can buy the bundle for two, Ultimate and the box.
So well, at least they're not charging extra
for the bundle.
Technically they are.
Yeah, one more cent.
$99.99 and $99.99. It is 2 cents more expensive to buy them together.
Those lovely human beings. But yeah, no, I found that too. Yeah.
Also, apparently, digital copies do offer their own bonuses. All digital pre-orders will come with a pile of in-game cash. And according to Rockstar, if you pre-order a digital copy by July 31st, you'll get a second in-game bonus, a treasure map that will help Morgan find the loot, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, and they were doing another promo where if you pre-order early enough, you get money in GTA 5 as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rockstar, why? Please.
I need
this is a bunch of terrible trends right here.
I need to see a lot about the Spider-Man game coming out soon.
Right.
And sorry, I know that's not happened yet, and that's a completely side note bar.
Hopefully, we're going to get a lot of information about that at the Sony conference. I'm pretty sure Sony already confirmed.
Is that one of the four? Because they're talking about Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us 2, and was Spider-Man the fourth one?
I'm sure, because I know Sony said they're going to talk about Spider-Man at E3. So.
Okay, yeah, then because they already said that they're really going to focus on those four games.
Good. I'm really hoping we get an announcement for a Spider-Man Edition PS4 Pro. Actually, I really hope they don't, because I don't want to get rid of my Batman Edition. But if they announce a Spider-Man Edition...
Jesse, I'm going to get rid of my PS4 Pro that I just bought just for the Spider-Man PS4 Pro.
You have a PS4 Pro?
It cost me $5 because I traded a bunch of stuff in.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So it cost you $5 plus a bunch of stuff you traded. Anyway. Yeah. So yeah, the last bit of video game news we got before we go to the EA or E3 highlights, Dead or Alive 6.
Definitely not EA highlights.
Mm, there was one. Dead or Alive 6 reveal trailer. Dead or Alive is a fighting game franchise that me and my little brother always liked. That was the one that we got really good at that nobody else ever wanted to play.
Because I saw this earlier in the week, and it didn't even register because, like, in my brain, it's like, okay, well, I'm the only person that even cares about fighting games. That's why I haven't been linking all of the like character announcements for Soul Calibur 6,
mm-hmm.
because they've been doing a lot of those. But I'm like, I don't want this. I don't want to turn this into like an Injustice thing, because at least then there's the comics crossover that people will care about. But it's like, no one cares if Zazamel got announced, which he did.
Can you send all that to me?
My name is Google. Do your own homework, you lazy POS.
Point of sale?
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it is. Meant. But yeah, so it's like I saw Dead or Alive 6 got announced. Or is it 6?
Yes,
it's 6. I was like, oh, Dead or Alive. That's cool. I'm mad that I'm getting a game with Ryu Hayabusa in it that's not another Ninja Gaiden.
Right.
But okay.
I mean, Hayabusa's kind of been in them, but...
But I also had the thought that, like, I'm like, why are you bothering? There's a 60% chance we might get a Mortal Kombat announcement this year at E3. I think it's too early, but it may happen.
I could see it.
Because
they're done with Injustice.
Because they announced Injustice after the last Fighter Pack got released.
Right.
And now we're a few months removed from the last
Fighter Pack and Injustice.
And then, like, Soul Calibur's coming out, and we just got a new Tekken, and Street Fighter is still going.
Somehow. I thought that ship would have sunk with terrible that launch was.
Apparently, I mean, they've done a lot of stuff to make it better. Like, I mean, it's still very expensive if you want everybody, but it's
disgusting.
They've added more things to it. I've just never been a huge Street Fighter was always too hard for me. I was always so, like, I can fake my way through, like, Mortal Kombat and Injustice, especially, like, the later Mortal Kombat games. And Tekken, I've always had a soft spot for, and same with Soul Calibur. So it's just like, yeah, this isn't a franchise I
you know, Street Fighter.
Super care about.
Like, I always had a soft spot for the old Street Fighter games. So that was, like, the first game I ever played for my Super Nintendo was a Street Fighter 2. Fighting games in general were, there weren't, like, all that many two-player games that, you know, two people could play at the same time that weren't sports games or fighting games. So me and my little brother played a lot of sports games and fighting games because we would fight over who got to play if we played a single-player game.
Right.
Because we're a year and a half apart, and that's how that works.
Yep.
So lots of fighting games for Jake and I. And, yeah, that was Dead or Street Fighter was a big one whenever we were younger. On the Xbox 360, Dead or Alive 4 was one of the first games we got for the 360. And, yeah, no, I love that game. Love that series. Dead or Alive 3 was also really fun on the original Xbox.
It always just felt like a not as interesting version of Tekken to me.
Because they added the counter system, the counter and parry system, was which, what made it neat.
The trailer very much highlights that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was super cool.
So, yeah. And, I mean, I always like Team Ninja. So, we'll see what we get on that. That's all we got is a little bit of the trailer. We didn't get a whole lot of, like, there wasn't any crazy announcements that I'm aware of. But I haven't been that into the franchise in a while, so I don't know.
There might have been, like, a character that you saw that you're like, oh, they're in it, but...
Nothing. Yeah. He said Ryu Hayabusa is in it, and that's going to be one of the big ones because...
Well, he was just in it as one of the fighters.
Yeah, he has been since Dead or Alive 2 because, I mean, Ninja Gaiden is a Team Ninja franchise, so...
Right.
But anyway, all right, that's the last of that. And then some real quick E3 highlights. We got a cinematic trailer for Anthem, which that's a game that most of us here at this table have been kind of excited about. It's hesitantly excited about because it's an EA... published game
by BioWare,
but it's by BioWare, and BioWare historically has been really, really good, but their last few games since they've merged with EA have been met with mixed results.
Mass Effect Andromeda was made by the bad BioWare team. The reason Mass Effect Andromeda was bad is because the good people from BioWare are working on Anthem.
Yeah. But I mean, even before that, like, not everybody likes Star Wars The Old Republic, and what else
was that BioWare? To be fair, that was an MMO.
Yeah.
And that's not the type of...
And the story in that game was great. It's just all of the...
And that's what BioWare does well.
Yeah, they really do. They haven't done near as well since Drew Karpyshyn left. Dragon Age...
Inquisition.
Inquisition was an EA version.
I like that one.
Well, actually, so was Dragon Age 2 now. I think even the first Dragon Age was EA. It's been EA since Mass Effect 2. What am I talking about? And Mass Effect 2 was great.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I loved Mass Effect 2.
So EA is the one that published Mass Effect 2?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it was a Microsoft Studios and then EA picked up BioWare, and they got rights to the Mass Effect series as well, which is why there's no Mass Effect 1 on PlayStation 1. And they just do Mass Effect, like, you get Mass Effect 2, and it comes with, basically a bunch of questions, like, what would you have done in the first game? Mm-hmm. And that's what sets up 2 for you, which is neat, but yeah.
Give me a Jade Empire sequel.
Oh, my God, yes, please. That game was so good. we got an Anthem cinematic trailer, and I want this game to be good so bad. And the trailer looks so good.
The cinematic trailer and the gameplay itself, the gameplay kind of lost me only because it wasn't anything... wildly different than what we'd gotten
last year.
The only thing we didn't have was the really terrible fake player chat,
scripted, yeah, like
it, you know,
dialogue, yeah, between
it was
players.
all between PC, like actual NPCs, well, your player character and the your like home base, or
yeah, what we got
maybe
this
your
time,
version of the ghost in Destiny.
Yeah, what we got this time was in-game dialogue versus last year where we got out-of-game dialogue of, like, people coordinating what they were doing.
But they did a bunch of jumping around on it. Like, they clearly, like, they're like, okay, we're running through this specific mission. But they cut and, like, just, and there were no transitions. It was just, okay, we just did this thing, and now you're in a whole other environment. And that was really weird. And it's just because the EA press conference in general was really weird, and they should have been done differently. They should have eliminated the panel with all the concept art and seeing people behind the scenes and just shown us more... of that actual gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not the decision they made. So.
No, EA made a bunch of terrible decisions for their conference. Yeah, that's really all I got from EA that I wanted to talk about.
We're going
to
talk more about EA
on Tuesday. But yeah, as for right now.
But that's the only thing we're talking about that we're excited for.
Yeah. So Microsoft opened up with a new Halo trailer. And I still... it started out, you had no idea what exactly was about to happen.
I thought it was Turok. I genuinely was like, okay, that's kind of a, because I came into this one, maybe it's because I've been watching like Kind of Funny talk about it for so long, but like everything they were saying was right in that Microsoft is handily losing this console war. They're not like doing terrible. They're not worried. They're not losing money. But in the eyes of PS4 versus Xbox, it's PS4 all day. And there's not even an argument.
Yeah.
So they needed to come out heavy and just like, all right, we're getting exclusives from developers that you wouldn't think would give us an exclusive, just all sorts of stuff like that. So I was like, okay, Turok is a, it's not necessarily like a, people are going to buy an Xbox for Turok.
No.
But that's an interesting franchise that they could bring on.
Mm. Well, because, I mean, it's a Rare property.
Is it?
I think.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive that Turok is a Rare property.
Well, that totally deflates my entire expectation then.
I'm on it, but I'm just pretty sure.
Oh, no,
right.
Like, I believe, it's not that I don't believe you. It's just like that was just not knowledge that I had.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, if they're bringing back Turok, that's kind of a.
Because we had a Turok game on Xbox 360.
Also, it was also on PlayStation 3.
Was it?
Yup.
When they were. I wasn't watching just the press conference. I was watching the Kind of Funny watch along.
Yeah.
And so, like, one of the guys was like, this could be Halo. It's like, the music's not Halo. This doesn't look like Halo. And then
you see Master Chief's helmet and the music kicks in.
Yep.
And I'll be honest with you, I still get like the tinglies when I hear that tune.
Yep.
That little like piano melody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, it makes me happy. So yeah, we got Halo Infinite. It looks like, yeah, we don't know where we're going on for the first like more than half of the beginning of this trailer. We have a teaser.
Mm-hmm. It's
very much a teaser.
This is a teaser. Because Hollywood. This is a teaser.
Yeah, because we have no idea what's going on. And then, yeah, you see Chief's helmet and the music plays, and you're just like I'm getting goosebumps again. That's
and, like, the camera pans up at the end, and you can see that you're on a Halo again.
Yes.
Like, so cool. And then Phil Spencer comes out, and he says that this will be Master Chief's greatest adventure to save humanity yet. So that, to me, means this is Halo 6. We're not calling it Halo 6, but this is Halo 6, and this is, you know, this is a main Halo game. This isn't, like, Reach or...
Yeah, this is not
Halo
a side
Wars.
Story or anything like that. This is Master Chief,
first
and
person
he's
shooter.
Saving lives.
Yep.
And, oh, man, I'm pumped.
That's how they started it.
That's like, how they started the. Yeah, that's a good way to start your conference.
The first thing you see. It's not like EA where the first thing you see is like, hi, I'm a suit, and I'm real awkward talking in front of people.
Yeah, no. They open up with Halo, and they're calling it Halo Infinite because
mm-hmm.
that's the title that goes up there. And, yeah, no, I'm pumped because it's Halo, and I'm going to buy it because I buy everything Halo. I can't help myself.
It's fine. I'm there with you. I'm not as deep into Halo as you are, I think, but that is very much my like that was other than GoldenEye, that was like the first person shooter that I loved.
Yeah. Yeah, I put oh my god, me and Kevin Schenkelberg so much time in Halo 2 before we knew each other and then after we knew each other even more time. I just brought my Xbox over to Kevin's house. Me, him, and Garrett would just play for hours.
I'm actually really excited for this to come out because it's one of those things where it's like now that I've never been really good at first-person shooters.
Mm.
But now that I feel like I will actually have a reason to keep playing this one and like Call of Duty. It's like I eventually got decent at Call of Duty. So now if I can play Halo like I was playing Call of Duty, the idea that I could get good at a Halo game, oh no.
Yeah, because I mean, and
Top
I'm sure
guy
we'll get Dalton to buy it. And,
we'll get Dalton to buy it. I know Shannon's not super into Halo, but I feel like if we're all, I love how we're talking about him. Like he's not just sitting right here.
Literally, I was checking my work email, and just Dalton's gonna buy it.
And then Dalton was about to like, it looked like he was gonna argue for a half second, and then he's like, Nah. Yeah.
Yeah, gave him the yeah, you're right.
But and I know like Shannon isn't like super into the Halo franchise. But I feel like if we all like get into it, we can play with him a few times before he like gets sick of it. Or
yeah, I mean, he has the 1X. He's gonna like
get it.
Yeah, Halo on a 1X. Ooh, Halo on a 1X.
Shh. I don't want to buy a 1X.
Also, like we don't work for Microsoft. We don't get anything from this. But if you have an Xbox, they're doing a huge E3 sale.
Oh yeah.
With a bunch of like the discounts aren't great, but there are some pretty interesting. Like there's some pretty good games that you can get cheaper than normal. Also, if you don't have an Xbox, but you're like maybe this E3 press conference won you over, or there's something you've been wanting to check out. The One X actually has a price drop for the first time ever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's $50 off right now for E3 weekend.
Yeah.
And then like I think Best Buy is running a deal where in addition to that you get like a $50 gift card to Best Buy.
I think so. And then I know controllers are cheaper too.
Yeah. I think right now it's like $20 off a controller. Whenever I bought my Pro a couple weeks ago, they were giving a free controller if you bought a system.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah. So yeah, there you go. Never a better time to buy an Xbox. All right. So yeah, I'm going to try and move through the rest of this pretty quick because, yeah, we're over now. And the Bethesda conference starts. Is it 7:30 or 8:30?
8:30.
Okay. So, yeah, we got time. But anyway, Software showed off their new IP, which we had gotten a title for a while back.
Game Awards.
But, yeah, we hadn't seen anything about Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. And basically, this is like From Software saw that Neo was popular. Basically ripping off everything about Dark Souls. And they're like, well, we can do better. And it looks like they did, because, oh my God, this looks fun.
Yeah, it looks amazing. It's a From Software game, so I'm not going to buy it. But I very look forward to watching YouTube videos and watching Shannon play it.
There you go. And it's 1X enhanced, so I'm going to get it, and I'm going to be watching on my 4K TV. It's going to be real pretty.
Yep.
But anyway, CD Projekt Red. This is... oddly, probably the game that I am... It's up there from the game I'm most excited about after having seen the trailer from E3. I was going to say,
because you were not excited about this game.
Mostly because, like...
in general.
I love the idea of, like, cyberpunk-era stuff. Mm-hmm. And CD Projekt Red is a phenomenal dev team, and I love supporting them because they make wonderful decisions. Like, in a time where DRM was, like, the end-all, be-all, and everybody wanted to so heavily DRM... or put DRM on everything, they released a PC game with zero DRM in The Witcher 2. Like, I have that game on disc on PC, and I could give it to either of you, and both of you could download it and play it, or install it and play it, with no CD keys, nothing.
And then, they have that policy of just, like, a very pro-player policy.
Yeah.
Because, like, Witcher 3... except for the DLC that was basically the size of The Witcher 3, everything was free.
Mm-hmm.
I love that it included that like thank you card when you bought the game.
Oh yeah,
I wish I would have liked The Witcher 3 more than I did, but the only thing that kept me back was the upgrade system, and like upgrading your character. I couldn't get a feel for that.
And I had fun with Witcher 2. I never tried Witcher 3. The problem that I had with Witcher 2 is the problem that I have with single player games in general. I can't do, and I know this is on me, like really long, in-depth single player games.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it upsets me. But like my single player games need to be a max of 20 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I can just jump in, knock out in a few days and call it good. Anything longer than that, and I can't do it. With the certain, unless it's like just absolutely incredible or has some kind of nostalgia, because I know that the Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. I kept wanting to say A Link to the Wild. I was like, that's not right. Breath of the Wild was definitely longer than that, and I played all the way through that game. But yeah, I don't know.
So 2 points about Cyberpunk before we even get to the trailer. In the trailer, if you freeze frame at the right places, were codes for The Witcher 3.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, they are giving away codes for Witcher 3. But also, there's a certain point where they have a letter to the audience that if you freeze it. Let's see.
I love CD Projekt Red.
So, fans about critical questions fans might have about the game. This is from PCGamer.com. When we told you we would only release the game when it's ready, we mean it. We meant it. Patience is still required. How big? Seriously, big. But, to be honest, we have no bloody clue. Free DLC /expansion/DRM-free? Expect nothing less. Microtransactions? In a single-player role-playing game? Are you nuts? I love them so much.
I do, too.
Just like, it's like, man, this makes me want to just go and buy The Witcher. Like just The Witcher 3.
I bought The Witcher 2 on release date just to support them.
It's like, this is like Titanfall.
Yeah.
Or Titanfall 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like, I want to support this model.
But yeah, I definitely don't have the time to put into The Witcher 3 like I would need to. But the combat was cool. Like, the world was super interesting.
The storyline, the lore was awesome.
Because it's based on, like, that old, the old series of books.
The Witcher.
Yeah, the Witcher series.
I think is what it's called.
I think it is. But yeah, but the trailer for this, dear Lord, this is a world that I want to, like, this is a world that I want to explore.
Yeah.
This gave me, like, serious, like, oh, like, I don't know why, but I'm getting, like, Grand Theft Auto vibes.
In terms of, like, what you want to do in it, or?
Kind of, but, like, it seems full. Witcher 3 was very, from what I experienced in it, like, everything was pretty full. But, like, this, and granted, this was all cinematic. There was no gameplay. We don't know what it's actually going to be like. But between, like, the poor area and then the rich area, that dichotomy, you even had, like, the hillbilly-looking dude with the super future shotgun. Just, I am stoked. It was so pretty. Like, the guy kind of seemed like a tool. Like, he's that, you know, every 14-year-old's, this is my character is just this nonchalant, total B.A., like, nothing bothers him.
Leather jacket.
Yeah.
That glows with fire. it's super edgelordy.
That sounds awesome now.
Not even necessarily, like, edgelordy, but, like, maybe edgeprincy.
There you go.
If Happy Days Fonzie was, like, current day, that would be his jacket.
Because it's I love the cyberpunk aesthetic.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm going to pick up a game like this if for no other reason than to support CD Projekt Red and business decisions they make. Mm-hmm. I want them to make money because I want other people to see that model that makes money and think, oh, we can make money without blasting our customers.
Here's the issue. Everybody sees the Blizzard model and just like, oh, we can kind of do that.
Well, if they did the Blizzard model, that'd be fine, too.
No, that's the happy medium.
No. That's what I'm saying is they see it and they're like, oh, we can kind of do that, but then they don't know how to.
Well, the problem is they're going to see like, well, EA tried with Battlefront 2. Maybe it's been enough time and we can we'll get it right, though.
We'll get pay to win right after you've paid for a $60 game.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yup. All right. And the last thing we want to talk about real quick is Cuphead.
Cuphead DLC.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not a sequel or anything like that, but...
No, yeah, we're not going to get a Cuphead sequel until, like, 2028.
Especially
with by the way, we're not getting Cyberpunk until 2020. Probably. That's the earliest I will put that game.
I would believe that.
But there's a whole new island. There's new bosses. The legendary chalice. New upgrades, new talismans. Legendary chalice is a third playable character. I beat Cuphead, best gamer of all time, MLG Pro, Mountain Dew sponsored.
Then insert air horns. Please don't actually insert air horns. Oh my God.
Okay, he did it, so he's not going to get punched.
Oh, I'm so excited. Like, I'm so happy
it just made me disappointed.
I'm just so happy we're getting more Cuphead.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was really my complaint, other than, yes, this is infuriatingly controller smashing hard. But now that I've beaten it, I'm not going to get, like, that's not one that I'm going to get the Xbox equivalent of a platinum trophy. Like, I'm not going to 120% that game. It's just not going to happen. I am not that good, and I don't want to spend the time to get that good / luck into it. But, dear Lord, I get more. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
He's smiling now.
I know. I'm just like, oh.
He's going to be so mad while he's playing.
It kind of makes me want to, like, I kind of want to just might go home and just, like, play through one of the bosses again.
Okay. One of the bosses.
Oh, yeah, no.
Acceptable.
I'm not going to try to, like, S-rank anybody. All of them. Yeah.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. And remember, tune in on Tuesday, Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man, for our full E3 recap show. I'll be on that one again. Like I said, I imagine Dalton will be, too.
I will be. I've cleared up my plans.
And, of course, Asa and Shannon, in order there, I guess, Five Star Man and Mr. 100, which... sounds weird coming out of my mouth.
No, right, it's Miss 100 Five Star Man.
I know, but I said Asa and Shannon.
Oh, gotcha.
And I
was like,
which but in that's order. The opposite.
Just real quick, EA did do one cool thing. Unravel 2 is available now. They like announced it, showed the trailer, and you can go and buy it. It's done. You can go pick it up.
Yep.
Co-op heavy. Like, looks super cool. Because that was one that I immediately messaged Shannon because, you know, Allie liked.
Allie loves Unravel.
Yeah, Allie loves Unravel. So I was like, hey, so this is out now.
Because it's a really cool-looking, adorable platformer. But anyway, All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys on Tuesday.